Pastor Mercedes. Appreciate her and her leadership. How y'all doing? I'm going to share real quick because I was there last week at Castellar. I love Castellar because, so we've been there for, I think, 4, maybe 5 years doing a form of the coat drive. It kind of has turned into food. And one thing that I've learned, you know, from Pastor Deborah, from Pastor Jim, Pastor Mike, and a lot of you in the room is consistency. And we've been doing that now for a while, and it feels like we can do whatever we want at Castellar. God has given us so much favor there. The principal, Danelle, Miss Vasquez, all the teachers, me and Joyce, after Thursday, we were hanging out, and we had a minute, and so we walked around the school and went into all the classrooms, and all the teachers are there, and so we just said hi, and some of them recognized us, some of them remembered what we did, and it's those kind of relationships, you know, that you all, again, I know Miss Tammy said it, but you all get to be a part of that, and it's a really lasting impact that we have on our city. And it's a very practical way. You know, we might not verbally tell people about Jesus, but we're telling people about Jesus when we hand them a backpack. When we come in, and I think one of the main things is when we come in and year out, it's easy to do one big event and be like, cool, you're a great kid, you know? But I think year in, year out, and that is a testament to what God has done in our personal lives. What God has done in us, we have to share, and it's another way that we get to share that. You know, yes, it's a financial thing, maybe it's time spent, but that's a very practical thing, and it ties right into what I'm preaching about today. So I wanted to share that, and today I'm talking about always planting, always harvesting. Amen. Somebody say, always planting, always harvesting. We love the latter part of that statement, right? How many of you like a good harvest, all right? We all like a good harvest, all right? The planting part, though, anybody ever had a garden before? Anybody ever killed a garden before? Yeah, let's go. Someone's like, yeah, all right. I know the Lowry's, hopefully it's okay, but they have an awesome garden. You guys are talented in your gardening skills. Rick is talented. Christine pointed it at Rick. But Rick, you are talented in your gardening skills. Yeah, let's go. And I was like, this man is keeping things alive while I am maybe killing some things. So way to go. But always planting, always harvesting. And when the Holy Spirit put this on my heart, I think one of the main pieces of this is the fact of where we are in the world today. What God is doing. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God is powerfully moving throughout our world and in specifically in our country. And I believe that the harvest, and we'll speak about this in a minute, but I believe that the harvest is plentiful right now in the kingdom of God. And as Christians, it's important for us to recognize that and to get to work. Amen? And so wherever you're at in your relationship with God today, this will apply to you, but specifically as Christians, you know, there's different roles that we can play, okay? We can be on the field playing. We can be on the sidelines. Or we can be up in the bleachers. And I want to tell you today that wherever you are, your salvation, if you've chosen Jesus, it is secure. Praise the Lord. That's who Jesus is. Jesus came to this earth, died for us, no matter what we chose, he said, hey, I'm going to choose you, I'm going to die for you, all you've got to do is call my name, and I will save you. And what a great blessing that is. But if you ever read this, you recognize that also that's true. As Christians, we are called to so much more. Amen? We're not called just to simply sit in the bleachers, sit on the sidelines, but we're called to play. And so today, I'm going to talk about that, all right? Everybody cool with that? All right, let's pray. Just join with me in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. You are so precious. We honor your voice today in our life. We thank you for your will being done today. We thank you, God, when you show up, miracles, signs, and wonders follow. Because that's who you are. You're a God that's always working on our behalf, that you are doing miracles on our behalf. Lord, we open up our hearts and our minds to you today. We ask that you would do what only you can do. Change us, rearrange whatever you got to rearrange. Lord, we want to think the way that you think, see the way that you see today, God. We thank you, Father. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen and amen. You know, every day we are planting in some form or fashion. I don't know about you, but there was definitely a time in my life where I thought that I could live a neutral life. Anybody ever felt like that before? Living a neutral life where I'm like, well, I'm not necessarily doing anything, you know, for the kingdom of God, but I'm not necessarily doing anything against the kingdom of God. So I'm kind of in this neutral area. And I used to think that that's where I was, but then I found very quickly that there is no neutral spot. You're planting seeds no matter what. Some of those seeds good, some of those seeds bad. How many of you can relate to that? You know, when good seeds come up, it's fun. When bad seeds come up, not so fun. And how many of you ever procrastinated before? Yeah, well, procrastinated, yeah. We always think about, you know, high school, whenever, because I was really good at procrastinating in high school. You know, you get, you know, the schedule for the test, the midterms, the finals, and I'm like, cool, this year it's going to be different. You ever say that before? This year is going to be different. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to study those notes every day. You know, you ever, maybe this is just me, all right? And, you know, the first day of school comes, and I had that fresh notebook, and I started taking notes, you know. And that night, I was like, I'm going to look at them tomorrow. First procrastination happens, right? And procrastination is a wild thing because it has a lot of energy. Have you ever noticed that? Procrastination is one of the most energy-focused things I've experienced sometimes in my life. And it's because procrastination has this way of saying, I'll wait till tomorrow, and then tomorrow turns into a week. Next week turns into next month, and then the date comes. Midterms come. Wild how that is. And then all of those seeds of procrastination, there is a harvest. And the harvest is plentiful in that moment, right? And you experience that. And so what do? You know, you grab all your books and all of your lack of notes, you know, and you start studying. Anybody ever use Cliff Notes before? Yeah, let's go. All right. I think, like, life might be easier now, like with the internet and AI and all that. But then I also wonder, I was like, you could also like look up stuff and somebody could put the wrong Cliff Notes just to mess with people that are, you know, cramming. Like I think that maybe all the people that were really good planners in high school, there's like this website somewhere and they're just plotting against all the procrastinators. Like, yeah, you should Google that. Let's see what happens. You know, and they Google all the wrong answers and then they go take the test. Like, what happened? Anyway, okay. Brandon's brain is weird. We all have established that. But we're always planting. We are always planting, which means that you are also always harvesting in your life. And for a lot of us, maybe just me, but I think a lot of us, there are moments in our life where like, man, my life is just challenging or it's bad or there's certain things that we're like, what's going on? Why is this happening? And many times, and although this might not be a very exciting thing to hear, it is the truth, okay? Although this might be not an exciting thing, many times a lot of the situations that we're in are due to the seeds that we've planted. And again, that's not a very exciting thing to hear. I don't know about you, but that like steps on all of my toes. But it's true. And sure, there are definitely things that happen to us in life that are out of our control. And so I recognize that, okay? There are definitely outliers. There are things that can happen that are outside of our control. But I think that we can all agree, even though it's challenging, hard, and not fun to hear, that many of the situations or the things that we find ourselves in are the seeds that we've planted in our life. And again, I didn't expect that get a great amen. But for a lot of us, we know it's true. And so my challenge for us today is if we know that to be true, what are we going to do different? What are we going to plant different to have a different kind of harvest in our life? And John Maxwell is a great leader of men and women. And one of my favorite, probably my favorite John Maxwell quote is, "You're becoming what you're doing right now." And that's a simple way of saying you're going to harvest what you plant. You will. And so if you want to be, I don't know, a trustworthy person, you can't lie now and expect everyone to trust you in 10 years, right? But if you want to be a trustworthy person, if you tell the truth, even when it's hard right now, people will trust you later. And how many of you know what's hard is now will become easier later in life? What's easy now will become some of the hardest situations that you deal with in your life that could have been avoided. And so as we look at planting, looking at it through the lens of the Word of God, I want you to think about that. What is it that you want to be known for? What is it that you want your life to consist of? What are the things that when the people closest to you someday say, "Man, I remember this about this person." You know, I want my kids to be able to say that I was a man of character, that I was a man that they could trust, that loved them, that showed them who Jesus was every day, not just like 60 days out of the year or 340 days out of the year, but like 365 days out of the year. That man showed us who Jesus was. These are the things that I want to be known for. Well, guess what? To make that happen means that every day I'm going to have to put effort towards that. And for, I don't know about you, but for me, when I think about that, I think about the word always, and it's daunting. You know, Jesus doesn't call us to love people sometimes. He doesn't say, "Hey, love your enemies on Wednesdays and Fridays and definitely Sundays." All right. But Mondays are tough. I get it. All right. So I'm going to give you like a pass. All right. So like when you're, you know, when you're driving to work, just let them have it, you know. Just let them have it. Tuesdays, you know, we're still recovering from Monday. So there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a hangover from that Monday road rage. So you will just give you a little bit, but try to get ready because Wednesday's coming. And let's try to be nice, you know. But hey, Wednesday was hard, and I get that. So Thursday, we're going to give you another bye so you can just enjoy, you know, just a little bit. But Friday's coming. Be nice then. But Saturday, you know, it's family time, and everybody's chilling out. It's the weekend, so you just relax. But Sunday, you know, that's my day, so you better be nice, all right? Because when you come to church and, you know, people are like, "How's your week?" You better be able to say, "It was pretty good," you know. That's not how it works. Maybe we would like it to work that way, but that's not how it works. Jesus calls us to love our enemies, period. That means always. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything you've got. That's an always statement, okay? He doesn't say, "The greatest of you is the one that serves 20 hours out of the week, part-time," okay? That's the greatest. He says, "The greatest of you is the one that serves." That's an always statement. If you read the Bible, commandments are always statements. And I don't know about you, but that can be daunting. Because always is a lot. Guys ever, like, that's a lot. Guys ever experienced always? It's a lot. It's like all the time. Yeah. That was pretty good, huh, Courtney? Yeah. You can use that in your class if you're teaching. Like, with math, that's like good. Always is all the time. All right. I learned that at church. All right. This pastor is, I mean, he's like a dictionary. It's crazy. Always is all the time. And that daunting feeling, if we allow it to, it will consume us. And I want to rewind for a minute. It's a daunting what? Feeling. Feeling. And culture today is all about talking about our anxiety, talking about our worry, talking about all of these things that we cannot handle. And that can be really convenient sometimes. And some of you are like, how dare you? That's a real thing. I'm not saying it's not a real thing, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, if God was the one that commanded us, don't you think that God would be the one that would also give us everything we need to be able to make it happen in our lives? You know, I love when Jesus speaks of his yoke being easy, his burden being light. And I love what it says in the Message Bible, because it says, if you follow me, I will show you the unforced rhythms of grace. That is such a beautiful, beautiful translation. He will show us the unforced rhythms of grace. He doesn't say there won't be a yoke, all right? He doesn't even say there won't be a burden. He just simply says this, it will be light. Why will it be light? Because have you ever seen a yoke before? A yoke, right, it's two, right? You have like two oxen or two cattle next to each other, and they're pulling it. That's a beautiful picture. Jesus is like, hey, if you saddle up with me, I'll show you how to do this thing, okay? But you've been over here on your own, unequally yoked with other things, trying to make this path on your own, and it just doesn't work as good. Any good thing in this world that doesn't have Jesus on it is just a cheap trick, trying to be the best authentic version of the one that created it. And so you have all of these things, and they kind of work. Have you noticed that? Kind of work. Some of the things, they'll work for a while, and then all of a sudden, there's all these repercussions. And so when we hear this, and maybe we feel overwhelmed by the word always, I want you to know today that there is a king that sent his son to die for us. And when he died for us, that was also a down payment for the Holy Spirit that came to us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. God has called you to great things. Every one of you in this room, everyone watching online, every person that was ever created, ever has been, ever will be, God has a great plan and a great purpose. In order for us to fulfill that purpose, the Holy Spirit has to be a part of it. Why? Because it's bigger than just us. There's no way that you can do the thing that God has called you to do without his help. That's the beauty of it. And if you're like, well, I don't know, I'm pretty good, I'm pretty awesome. Yeah, you are, big dog. You're awesome. Because God created you. He put things inside of you. It says in his word that he knit you together before you were in your mother's womb, all right? And all of the big cheeses in the Bible, all right, the King Davids and the Daniels and all those people, they were great on their own, but you know what really made them great? Was God. It was the Spirit of the Lord on them. And even the dumb ones, right? You read about them, you're like, man, that dude is dumb. Like, Saul, you are dumb. You're really, really dumb, you know? You just keep doing the same dumb thing over and over again. You know what happened? God still used him over and over again. Why? Because God is greater than your flaws. And when you really latch on to the purpose that he has for me, you really dig into that and you recognize I'm not perfect, but I want to be used by God. Something changes. There's a transition that happens, all right? Because all of us, you don't have to raise your hand, but we all know everyone would be raising their hand right now. We all have flaws. You all got a past, all right? I'm broken, messed up over and over again. Like, oh, how many of you have done the same thing over and over again? You're like, here we are again, God. I can't believe we're here again. The same conversation that we're having. And it is those moments, the word always seems so crippling. Always, I would be happy if I could do it like once. Always, like I can't even do it once. Like you want me to do it always, I can't even do it. Like love your enemy, like once, I can't even do it. I can't even do it a single time. And so I want to remind you today of who your God is. God has called you to always. Why? Because when he looks at you, he sees who you really are. See, you look in the mirror and you see generally all your flaws. Everything you've done, it's all messed up. Your mistake from last night, your mistake from last week ago, what you said to your spouse, what you said to your kids. You see all of that stuff. But see, when God looks at you, what does he see? He sees who he created you to be. A masterpiece. A prince. A princess, an heir to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, that one which has gained all the inheritance of the kingdom of God, if he or she just simply says, I will go. What a beautiful thing that is. I've gotten through the first part of my notes. So cool. But I love one really important thing about planting. When you plant, harvest follows. And how many of you ever planted anything before? You ever do like those in elementary school, you put a seed in and something's supposed to come up? Anybody ever put the seed in and nothing came up? Yeah. All of us are like, yeah. You ever try to switch the name on the for the one over to the one that was actually doing good? Yeah, me neither. Thanks, Rosie. Appreciate you, girl. She's got her dad's back. I love planting in the kingdom of God. And this is why I love planting in the kingdom of God, because it always comes back better than what I expected. You know, when God calls a church to go do a backpack outreach, we think about the backpacks. We think about giving a need and how it's going to be really cool. But what we don't think about is the testimonies that were all up here. And we don't think about some of the things that we heard parents say. I didn't think about that at all. I didn't think about the principal or the staff. I personally, maybe some of you did, but we don't think about all those things. We don't think about the ripple effect. We don't think about the fact that we prayed over all those backpacks, all right? All of those backpacks now are in homes. The presence of God is following, I believe, all those backpacks everywhere they go. See, there's these things that are happening when you plant seeds in the kingdom of God that are way bigger and better than just you. Praise the Lord. That's good news, all right? And so, if you've ever, you know, anybody ever seen a watermelon before? You ever cut a watermelon open? All those seeds? I really need Miss Susan here. Man, Miss Susan, I miss you. Miss Susan would know exactly where I was going right now, and she probably would have had the numbers for me right now, all right? But when you plant one watermelon seed, what comes up? More than one watermelon. All right? Now, you can totally chat GPT me, and I'm probably wrong, okay? But I'm going to give you a light numbers, okay? But don't quote me. But when you plant one watermelon, okay, out comes somewhere between 3 and 7 watermelon out of that one watermelon. In each watermelon, there's around, I think, 60 to 70 seeds, okay? And how many of those seeds can you plant? About half of them are actually fertile seeds that you can plant into the ground. So, let's just say, on a conservative route, 3 watermelons, 30 seeds, my math should be right, that's 90 seeds planted, which then produce what? 3 to 7 watermelon. That's pretty good. This is a picture of how the kingdom of God works. There's pictures all over creation of how God's kingdom works. And this is one of those, all right? It's one of the most amazing things to see and think about that. It kind of just like clocks your brain a little bit, doesn't it? When you start talking about watermelon, it's like, what is it? And have you ever seen that meme, all the number superimposed? But anyway, but that's how God works. When you plant a seed in the kingdom of God, when you're doing what God has commanded to you to do, that's what I'm saying. When you're like, what is he talking about, planting in the kingdom of God? What I'm saying is, when you do the things that God has commanded you to do in his word, okay, and you're like, well, God didn't speak to me. Yeah, he did, all right? Stop being lazy. Open up your Bible and read it, all right? Your toes hurt, don't worry. If you read this, you'll feel better, okay, all right? There's Band-Aids in there. It's okay, all right? So read your word, and he'll tell you his commands, all right? And then where else do we get commands? From the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we'll pray for you. We'll receive the Holy Spirit today. And what is the Holy Spirit? Living, breathing, inside, through you, anointing you to be able to do the works of God and what he's called you to do. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful piece of who God is. And so we go out and we do perfect all the time. And us too, we do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Probably not perfect all the time, but we start doing those things. And that is planting in the kingdom of God. It's doing what God's called us to do, what he tells us to do. And the cool thing about that, I love the body of Christ. It looks different in all of us, right? Like there's people Mike Felder's talking to. There's no way I'm going to be able to talk to them, right? There's people that I'm talking to, Mike Feller's probably never going to get a chance to talk to. Thank God for each other, right? And thank God for him as a brother that sharpens me and helps me, and I hope that I sharpen him as well. And that's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ helping. So if you're ever like, well, I don't need church to serve God, no, but it sure helps. And not only does it help, but it's a commandment. We can't even preach about that today, but we could, all right? But God, Jesus speaks of his heart is in the body of Christ, all right? It's in the church. He loves the church. So we should love the church. Which means we should be in a church, the body of Christ, and recognize what that produces in our life. Amen? All right. That was part two. Point two. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. And some of you are like, man, how many points does he have? How long will he go? It's okay. I'll get you out of here by 1:30. It's okay. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's okay. Everybody chill out. They're like, that's really funny, but tell me for real what time. Don't worry. So much suspense. Don't worry. I'm hungry too, okay? So it's okay. And it's awesome to have Charity's family with us too. Love you guys. Thanks for being here today. Yeah, we love you. Thanks for bringing this lady into the world. What a blessing. Matthew chapter 9. Let's go to verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every... Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that, yes, he's called us to always, but aren't you glad, too, that Jesus always does always? Come on, somebody. Some of us are like, we're daunted by that, but I just want to remind you of the king that you serve, too. God is a God that does it always. Isn't that good? That's good news for us today. Every time you read Jesus move, it says everyone or like every person, every, as always. All right. Where were we? Every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were, what? Confused and helpless. That's important. We'll talk about that more. But they were confused and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's also important. We'll come back to that, okay? And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great. Come on, somebody. We can just praise the Lord. Let's just have a little praise break that the harvest is great. Praise the Lord. See, the harvest is great, not just in your life, but in the kingdom of God, all right? And if you have your eyes open at all right now, the harvest is very plentiful in the kingdom of God right now. God is doing something in our world, all right? There are people that are Islam. They have been Muslims their whole life. And they're having visions of Jesus. And they're waking up and coming to Jesus in a radical way. That is God moving on people in their life. There are churches that are blowing up right now. Why? Because people want to know the truth, okay? And when they want to know the truth, they're going to go try to find the truth. And guess who's always true? God. Guess who's not always true? The Quran. The Book of Mormon. I don't know how many people, this is real. I talk to people. I'm not going to get into it. There's a guy I know, and he was like called to start reading the Book of Mormon, the Baha'i Faith, Book of Mormon, and the Quran, or not the Book of Mormon, Baha'i Faith, Quran, and the Bible. And he's like, I'm going to figure out which one is true. He's like, I started reading the Bible. I got one chapter in and gave my life to Jesus right then and there. That's the only God can do that. I have never heard that in my life until that moment. All right. I was like 39 years old. I met this dude at Sierra Trading Post. I walk up to him like, hey man, how's it going? And he's like, hey. I was like, what do you do? He's like, I'm a nurse. I was like, that's awesome. He's like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a pastor. And he's like, of course you are. And I was like, sounds like we should get coffee. He's like, yeah, it sounds like we should. And then he goes and he tells me that. He says, I was praying to God because I wanted to find a church, but I didn't know how to find a church because I grew up in a different kind of faith. And I was praying for somebody and praying for God to reveal that. And I just couldn't find a church for months. And I was like, this is my last chance. Like, God, you're gonna have to do something supernatural. And then I met you. And he doesn't go to this church. That helped him find a church, praise the Lord, all right? And some of you are like, that's wrong. It's not wrong, all right? We're a church worldwide. God is moving. And it's understanding that God is moving if you're willing. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's a really cool testimony. Wish I could be that. It could be all of us, all right? How big would the Church of Omaha be if we all did that all the time? I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying if we did. I'm speaking to myself, all right? Because that's like a few years old, okay? All right? Call myself out. Everybody got that? Okay. But if we did that all the time, what would God be doing in our life? What would God be doing in the kingdom of God? Because that young man, God's going to use him to do some crazy stuff. Praise the Lord. There's a ripple effect that happens. Okay. The harvest is great. That was a praise break. We're moving on. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. That should bother you. It bothers me. As a Christian, it should bother you. That should bother you. It should kind of get under your skin a little bit that the workers are few. Why does it get under my skin? Because of what God has done for me. Like, what has God has changed my life. He's given me a beautiful, my life is beautiful. Beautiful because of God. And there's a lot of people, they don't have a beautiful life. Why am I not telling more people about that? That's why that bothers me. 38, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. When I read this, and specifically in verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without the shepherd. It instantly made me think about Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. I mean, you could preach 1,000+ sermons on the prodigal son all different versions, all different ways, all different things. But what happens to the prodigal son? It says he came to his senses. And if you don't know the scripture, you can go there sometime and read it, Luke chapter 15. But the prodigal son, he comes prematurely to his father and says, give me what's rightfully mine. And one amazing thing is, what does the father do? He gives it to him. That'll preach. Another sermon. And the prodigal son, he takes the money, he squanders it. What does he do? He goes and he plants it all different ways. He starts planting seeds. A lot of bad seeds. And he finally gets his place. He has no money. There's a famine in the land. As a Jew, he goes and starts feeding pigs, which is a very big no-no. All right? It's another sermon for another day. And he's brought to the end. And what does it say? It says, if you read it, it says he came to his senses. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I believe that is a prophetic for right now. And it, I really do. Because there are so many people right now. They are coming to their senses. They're realizing that the lies that the enemy has fed them over and over again, that they've watched their family members partake in over and over again, they're like, this is not, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And they're looking for truth. The harvest is so plentiful. There are people right now, and this is important, there are people right now that you are their answer. And I'm going to tell you this right now, if you don't step into that, somebody else will. There is no way that God is going to forsake them. Okay? And if I'm stepping on your toes, don't worry. My toes hurt a lot, okay? I had to work on this, digest this like 70 times the last couple weeks, okay? But I would much rather be the guy to be used by God when he's called me and be a part of that. Some of the most fulfilling moments in my life are leading people to Jesus Christ. It's leading him in a prayer, watching the light bulb go off in their head, like, that's crazy. God is good. Baptizing people. I love that. We're going to baptize tonight. It's going to be awesome. I love doing those things. Why? Because the old is gone and the new is here. A new creation, the Bible says. See, there's something beautiful that happens when somebody comes to Jesus. And when you get to be a part of it, your faith is reinvigorated. A newborn Christian, it'll mess with everybody in a church. Why? Because everybody's like, oh, I remember that. It shouldn't be some long distance thing 20 years ago. It should be fresh and new. Right now, like the moment. In Revelation, what is spoken of the church, it says, you forsook your first love. This one thing I have against you, you forsook your first love. I hope forsook is a real word. Now you'll remember that. But we've got to recognize in our life, like that's one of the things, it shakes the church when a newborn Christian is in the room. Because it reminds us what? Of our first love. In all the things that happened in our life up to that point of seeing, they're like, oh man, there's just they're little things. And we take for granted the love of God in our life. It's so easy to do. So I want you to know today, as a Christian, you can sit on the sidelines, you can sit up in the bleachers, but if you're going to play, the harvest is plentiful. It's so plentiful. There's so many people out there that are ready. And we can't practice in these four walls forever. I love the story. If you've ever heard of Cyrus Hall McCormick, he was he either invented the mechanical reaper or was definitely one of the ones that originally helps build and create the mechanical reaper. And I read his biography, and one of the most amazing things to me, because Cyrus McCormick was a farmer first, okay? And so he farmed land, his family's land, but he was a genius, all right? And he was an inventor. And so he invented a mechanical reaper, one of the first ones, and instantly everybody was on his tail, right? He had big companies that would later become John Deere that he would actually merge with later on, and other big companies that were trying to gain on him, and they just couldn't gain on him. And one of the most interesting facts in the book that I saw was he invented all of his stuff and built all of his stuff in his barn, on his farm. And all these other companies were building it in labs in the city. Now, last I checked, when I go to the big city, there's not a farm around, right? And so I could just see it now, right? These big warehouses, they've got all this state-of-the-art equipment, and they're like, we're going to get it. And they got these white coats all running around, right, trying to figure it out. And they've got like this random, you know, concrete area that they just put some soil down in. And they take this mechanical reaper that they've invented that's so hot, right? This is going to be it. And they use it, and it's so good. It's so smooth. It works so good. And it works so well. And they're like, guys, check it out. They'll even have salesmen come in and look at what we're doing here, all right? And the salesmen go out to the farmers, you will not believe what we're doing here, all right? It's going to be amazing. And farmers would get it, and guess what would happen? There's stuff in the field. You guys ever know? You know, maybe you haven't farmed before, all right? I haven't, all right? But I do know this. There's rocks in the field. There's this thing in the clouds that falls from the sky. It's called rain. Changes soil, all right? There's different kinds of soils. There's all these different elements that in a lab they weren't able to anticipate. But Cyrus McCormick, he did it. He was farming. Even while he was inventing, he was farming. And so he was going out there tinkering with things, and they would take it out to the field and try it out. And then he would bring it back out in real-world experience. See, if we just keep practicing in church for the rest of our life and don't get out of these four walls, see, we've got to take it to the field. And I don't know about you, but I can't keep on doing this thing where I'm like, I'm just going to keep on studying it in the lab. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's real comfortable. It's real easy. But if we don't start taking it out to the field, the harvest that is plentiful, this prayer will still be real. I don't know about you, but I would love to see the day when this prayer did not need to be prayed anymore. Where the workers were many. They were out there working the field. And what's the beautiful thing about the field? Well, there's a lot of different roles that you play in a field. You might plant a seed. You might water that thing. I remember learning this when I was like in preschool, in Bible, in our Sunday school class. But you might water it, right? You might be the one that waters it. You might be the one that fertilizes it. You might be the one that, you know, helps plant the seeds. It could be a lot of different things, but you also might be the one that would help bring that person to the kingdom of God. We all have roles to play. And so why I say that is we can all start somewhere. And when you plant a seed in the kingdom of God, it is eternal. So some of us might say, well, you could say a very simple thing. Just say, hey, just want you to know God loves you, to a stranger. And they might be like, phew. But that's an eternal seed. It is an eternal seed. there are things that you can do like that that are very simple. What am I saying? Just start somewhere. How many people you think, if you walked into a Menards right now, need prayer? 90%. Yeah, because they're all blue-collar tradesmen. Their back hurts, y'all. Come on now, all right? I know this because I'm one of those dudes, all right? My back doesn't hurt, though. So, like, I could tell them, like, hey, how you doing? They're like, I'm really sore. I was like, yeah, I'm not. All right? Does it have to be perfect? Yes. No, I'm just kidding. No, it doesn't. It absolutely does not have to be perfect. Will it get better the more you do it? Yeah. Will it get easier the more you do it? Yes. Okay. Some of us just need to start with a smile. Pastor Mercedes would say, alert your face, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Alert your face, all right? It is a good day. The Lord is your King and Savior. That's something to smile about. Start somewhere. And for all of us that have started the smile and the God loves you and the hey, those little things, there's got to be a point too where we cross the big span. Okay, I'm speaking to a lot of us today. All right, I'm going to be very real. Okay, I'm speaking to a lot of us today. If you're like, is he talking to me? Yeah, I am. Okay, because this is the big span. Okay, the big span is stepping into building real relationship with people. And then it gets really uncomfortable. And it will mess with your schedule. It'll mess with your finances. It will mess with a lot of things. Why? Because it will demand a sacrifice. This is the hard thing. When a sacrifice needs to be made, it is those moments that the rubber really meets the road, right? If we never get to that moment, we don't have to make that decision. And this is where a lot of us get paralyzed in the flow of where God wants to take us. Because we know that if we don't step into that, we won't ever have to deal with that. So I'm just going to stay over here, and I would probably submit to you today that the sidelines look a lot like, hey, God loves you. How's it going? Good to see you. How's it going? Great to see you. Do you want to come talk to you later? You should watch our church on live stream. Instead of saying, hey, you want to come to church? I'll buy you lunch. Everybody loves free food. Who does not like a good free food? You know what I'm talking about? It just tastes better. It's those kinds of things. I'm speaking to myself today so much, y'all. All right? But there's got to be a point where we're willing to start to sacrifice for our brothers and sisters. Because every person that annoys you, that rubs you the wrong way, that looks crazy, that looks, oh, yeah, God loves them more than you'll ever know. It's those, everybody. We all had a person that popped into our head, all right? First assignment. Somebody's like, gosh darn, I wish you wouldn't have said that. I didn't come to church for that, all right? Can we just, like, sing kumbaya and be out of here? Yeah, you can. That's cool. Free of charge. You can come here and do that. That's totally fine. All right? But I love our pastors. I love our church because we are here to what? To harvest the land. Harvest what God has brought to us, all right? To plant a seed, to get out there, venture in to the places that are unknown to us right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, the sacrifices that God will call you to do, to make, he already has the provision for you right now. He doesn't even have to make it, okay? It's right now. He doesn't have to cook it up, all right? He doesn't have to go make a bunch of investments, all right, and let him, like, you know, quantify in a couple years. He's got it right now, the provision that you need. So for all of us, we instantly are like, what about this? What about this? What about this? And God's like, I got this, and I got that, and I got this. All right? And so we've got to get out of that mindset. We've got to push past those things. We've got to push out of this lab. All right? How beautiful is this lab? I love this lab. I love these people. You know, when I was in college for a whole semester, some of you are like, who am I listening to? This quack. But when I was in college for a semester and I was in chemistry, all right, I hated the class, but I loved the lab. Why? Because you could blow some stuff up. You know, you could make some real damage, all right? I never forget when my lab teacher said, hey, be careful. This could go through the floor. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've been waiting for this day, all right? I was like, that's cool. I was the wrong person to tell that to, you know? But how many of us know? Like, how many, this is for real, all right? How many of you have had that moment with God where God's like, boom, and we're like, whoa! That was great. God healed me. 2 years ago, I had like chronic knee pain. Guess what? I don't have any knee pain all the time. I get down on my knees all the time. I do like flooring and stuff. I like do crazy stuff with my knees. I run around and chase my daughter around. I don't have any knee pain anymore. Why? Because of what God has done, all right? So like for me, that's the moment. It's like my chemistry teacher were like, here, this goes through walls. I'm like, sweet, all right? Same thing. God has done things in our life, all right? And if he doesn't, he'll do it for you today, all right? The anointing of God is in this place. But if we just say, wow, that was awesome. Anyway, and we just keep it here, that's fine. But could I go further and just say, that's selfish. It would be selfish of me to just say, man, I got healed. God changed my life. He's given me this incredible family, this incredible wife, this incredible daughter, this miracle baby boy to be, and it's just for me. Me, 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 me. It's just for me. Me, 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 me. I'm trying to get, so it's like, okay, we get it. Yeah, me, 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 me. Me, I know, it's funny. She got it. But it got to be a point where we move on. Come on, who's ready to move on today? Come on, who's ready to move on today? Come on, stand to your feet for a minute. Who's ready to move on today? Come on, let it get in you today. Who's ready to move on today? If you're ready to move on today, I'm going to have you move on and come on down front today. And I'm talking about not giving your life to Jesus. If you want to give your life to Jesus, come on down front. But I mean like if you're ready to do what I'm talking about. If you're ready to step out today and be the person that God has called you to do, you can come on down front right now. It's going to be awkward. It's okay. But if you can't come down front now, it's going to be really hard to come down front in Menards, okay? All right? It's going to be probably really hard to come down front when you're at, you know, Quick Trip later this week, all right? And God says, hey, nudge, why don't you say to that person how much I love them? And you say, hey, God loves you. You know, it's these moments that God begins to do something supernatural in our lives. How many of you are ready for some of those weird things to happen? You ready for some weird stuff to happen? All right. I'm ready for some weird stuff to happen, okay? I'm standing in here with you today, okay? Even though if I'm on the stage, I'm standing up here with you today. And I believe that God is going to do something. I truly believe that this is a beginning mark right now. Not just in your life, but in what God's going to do. And I really mean this in our city, okay? I believe that this is going to be a spark of something that the devil never saw coming. I believe that it's going to spark something in Oklahoma. Amen? See, wherever you go, it can spark it. It can do it. All right? Let's just take a moment. Let's just focus on him today. Jessica, could you put fresh wind on? Could you do that for me? Thanks so much. Heavenly Father, come on, just begin to ask him. You know, we overcomplicate things sometimes, but just begin to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. If you haven't come down front and you're like, man, I should have come down front. I missed my chance. You didn't. You can come on down front still. It's okay. But just begin to ask the Holy Spirit to tell you, like a first step. There's maybe a person that God's putting in your mind right now. I really believe this is for a few people here. God's calling you to be the biggest prayer warrior, a bigger prayer warrior than you ever thought you could be. He's calling you to pray throughout the night, deep into the night for people. God's put people on your heart, and he's going to call you to intercede for them. You're going to pray hours upon hours upon hours for people. It's going to create perseverance in you. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody in this line right now, maybe in this room, maybe watching online, that there's somebody that's dealing with some chronic illness and disease. God's going to call you to pray for them, to step out. Step out. That's what God does. He heals people. And the most beautiful thing about when God heals people, when he heals their illness, he heals their heart. He heals their mind. Come on, just press in after it. If you want that, ask him for it. Give me hands to heal the sick, to heal the disease. Give me hands to heal the brokenhearted. That their mind is captured by the devil. God, give me hands that when I lay my hands on them, when I speak your truth, it is broken and released in the name of Jesus. Come on, ask him for it. If you want it, ask him for it. I can't do it for you. I'm not gonna do it for you. Just begin to ask him, begin to press in today. Come on, what's the sacrifice that you're gonna be called to make? Are you ready to make the sacrifice? In Isaiah, God called out to him and said, hey, I'm looking for somebody who will go. And Isaiah said, send me. There is no way. It was a whisper. Send me. I will go. It can't be something small. It has to be something deep within that yearns for something more. Father, we need you today. We need you today. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. We pray for a fresh wind and a fresh anointing over every one of us. We thank you, God, that you are empowering us and anointing us, God, to do the things that only you can do. We acknowledge today that by ourselves, on our own, we are just a person. But with you, we are empowered to do the things that you have called us to do. We thank you, God, for blind eyes open. We thank you for the crippled walking, Father. We thank you, God, for mental oppression lifted in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for psych wards, people walking out of psych wards in the name of Jesus. We thank you for empty hospital beds in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you have called our church to lead the way, and we will follow you, Father. Whatever it takes. We thank you, God, that there are companies that are changed from within because we are employed there. We thank you that you are changing our families, that you're leading us how to parent the way you've called us to parent. How to love the way you've called us to love. We praise you, Jesus. And if you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus, maybe you're online, you don't know Jesus, I want to give you a chance to know him today. It would be so wrong not to move forward to give anybody a chance to know Jesus that doesn't know him. And you might say, well, man, I didn't know that's the God. That's the Jesus. Maybe that's who you want today. If that's you today, just say, that's me. You can lift your hand today. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. But I just want to acknowledge if there's anybody in the room today that wants to know him. See that hand? Got you. See those hands? I'm going to just lead you in a simple prayer today. And it's the words, yes, they're important, but it's your heart. It's the meaning behind those words. Getting saved is making God the number one thing in your life. It means that other priorities that were there before, they are now pushed down. There are some priorities that God will call you to pluck out of your life and throw it away. And those things, although the hardest, will change your life completely. That's what God can do. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and that's what you're going to do today. You're making him the number one thing. So say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Jesus, I need you. There's no one else that can do what I know you can do. Help me move towards you, towards what you've called me to do. Forgive me of my sins. Help me do what you've called me to do. Help me follow your word. And I thank you that you'll be with me every step of the way. Holy Spirit, fire, come on me. Change me. Rearrange me. Release me of my addictions. Release me of my habits that were for the world. I turn to you. Change me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And if you're in the room and you need to receive the Holy Spirit today, we're going to pray for you today. You're going to receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what that is the gift that was given to us. When Jesus ascended to earth, he said another, a helper would come, and that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit coming upon you is exactly that. It is a helper, the greatest helper that you've ever experienced. You'll be given a heavenly language that you can have with just you and God. It's like a private language between you and him. That you commune with him. And the beautiful thing, this is important. God wants you to have it. Do you hear me today? Sometimes we like force it. We're like, how does this happen? How does this work? I just want you to know God wants you to have it. He doesn't want to hold it back from you. He wants to pour it out on you. He wants to pour it out on you. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit and you haven't, then we've got to make sure we know who you are. So maybe just come right up here. And yeah, it might be in front of people, but we all been there, right? How many of you? Raise your hand if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on, help out some people. Okay, that means everyone that just rose their hand, they did that. Had to come up front or do one of those things. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, just come on up front. Myself, Pastor Mercedes, Pastor Deborah, Pastor Terry, we're going to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. So come on down front. Come on down front. We're going to turn up the music. There's no formal dismissal today. Shocker. All right. And we're going to turn up the music a little bit. And I would encourage you, linger as long as you need to in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is real. He will speak to you. Let him do what only he can do. Amen? Amen. We love you so much. Family night, 5 p.m. Baptisms at 7. It's going to be an amazing week. We'll go ahead and turn the music up a little bit. Have an awesome week. Hang out as much as you want.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.